Well, it's boomy, isn't it? What a fabulous noise, the buzz of old relationships being caught up, new friends. Welcome this morning. My name is Sam Locke, and I have the great privilege of serving on the board of the Bible College of South Australia as both the Secretary and the Vice President. And it's a thrill to be here this morning with all of you. Lots of faces I don't know, lots of faces I do. Today's service is the first of a number of centenary celebrations for the Bible College of South Australia this year. And it's with great honour that I get to lead you through today's service as we give thanks for the 100 years of dedication, faith and ministry of the Bible College of SA. Today, we begin to reflect on the journey that has brought us to this remarkable milestone. Over the past century, this college has not only provided academic excellence, but it's also been the nurturing ground for spiritual growth, personal formation, and the development of gospel workers now serving all over Adelaide, South Australia, and beyond. That is remarkable. To help us centre our focus this morning, I'm going to hand over to the music team as they lead us through worship and song. But before we do so, won't you join me as I open in prayer? Eternal and sovereign God, loving Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for the privilege we have to freely come together this morning as we reflect on your goodness to the Bible College of SA. We commit this time together to you that you would be blessed and glorified through all that takes place this morning. In the great name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen indeed. Please be seated. Well, the Bible College is more than just lectures and buildings. It's actually about people. And I'm going to invite four very special people up to join us, and they know who they are. So if that is you, Jill, Katie, Shane and Kazuo, I believe you're all here. We're going to hear a bit about each of these wonderful people's experience here at the Bible College of South Australia over different stages. So I'll actually invite you all to come and join us up on the front. Join me, so I'm not so lonely up here. And we might kick off with Katie. Yeah, why not? You stand here.
Lovely, thank you.
Thank you. Do you want to tell us, firstly, name? And maybe when and where you studied. Now, by where, we don't mean this college or another. We mean by, as you may or may not realise, there are various iterations of this institution over time. So who are you? When and where did you study at the college?
My name is Katie, and I studied here on this campus at Bible College SA. I started in 2014, and I finished in 2020.
Fantastic. That's not that long ago, COVID. What a great way to finish.
Oh, great final year that was. We're all learning.
What are some key highlights for you of your time here studying, or some blessings from this time here?
Yeah, look, that's a really tricky question. There are lots and lots of things that I could talk about. But I think one of the things that strikes me as I look back on my time at Bible College is the very holistic approach that BCSA has to training people for ministry. So I came to college thinking that BCSA would help me learn the Bible better, help me learn the scriptures better. But when I came, what I found was a team of people who were very deeply passionate about doing much, much more than that. So I think as I studied at BCSA, I learnt a great deal about what it means to know God's character and to love him more deeply as I grew in knowledge of his character. I learnt a great deal or grew a great deal in my own character. BCSA were passionate about shaping us as leaders. And I learned a lot about what it means to use the Bible, use scriptures, to open them and explore their treasures and wonders with other people and bring them to bear in other people's lives. So I still feel like I make a lot of mistakes in ministry, but I'm immensely thankful for the way that BCSA helped me to grow and equipped me to love and serve other people as well.
That's fantastic. So you are working with other people. That's great news.
I am, yes.
Can you tell us a bit about what you've been doing since you finished study here?
Yeah, so since I graduated in 2020, I've been working at Trinity Church, Kernelight Gardens, as an associate pastor there. And I have a few different roles that, includes. One of them is I oversee or lead our membership purpose area. So I have the great joy of being able to work out what it looks like to welcome people well to our church, to help integrate them, help them grow in relationship and fellowship, and also the great joy of doing that amongst our own church family, growing in our fellowship and love for each other. Another part of my role is I oversee our ministry teams, so I think about what it means to help people and equip people to serve, both thinking through ministry training type skills, but also thinking through biblical kind of training and reasons for serving, which I love, and also raising up lay leaders amongst our church family, and I oversee our kids' ministry. So,
very exciting to hear how the formation of yourself through the college is leading to this wonderful ministry. Thanks for sharing, Katie. Why don't you thank Katie with us? Shane, last, you step up. Now you're going to have to lean over a bit.
Yes, I'll have to lean over a bit.
Do you want to tell us just firstly who you are and when and where you studied here at the college?
Yes, so my name's Shane Ellery, and I am very familiar with this room because I studied in this building. I was here for 3 years full-time. I completed the Master of Divinity in 2014, so 10 years ago this year, which is hard to believe.
That's great. Great news. And you've been very busy since. What are some highlights and blessings from your time of study here?
Yes. Well, like Katie said, that's kind of hard to capture in one or two things, but I'll give it a go. And in some ways, this is, I'm going to say what you might expect me to say, because I'm perhaps most grateful that I left this college with what I'm going to call a rich and robust theological framework for doing ministry, but also just for following Jesus. Of course, when you're studying, you hope that's happening. The college tell you that it's going to happen when you sign up for one of their degrees, but it's really only after almost 10 years now for me in ministry that I can see just how true that is, and how grateful I am for it. I mean, you keep learning, of course. Your theology keeps deepening. In some ways, college sets you up to be a lifelong theological student, but those 3 or so years in my case, that you just set aside to immerse yourself really deeply in the scriptures in a community of people are so critical. And now, kind of 10 years on, I'm immensely grateful for the framework that was laid down in those years.
Thank you, Shane. And what have you been busy doing in the last 10 years? Where are you working? What are you up to?
Yeah, so I'm currently the senior minister at St. Bart's Anglican Church in Norwood. It's a medium-sized evangelical Anglican church in the eastern suburbs. And I've actually been connected with that church in one way or another since graduating from college. So I had many different roles, but stepped into the senior role about 2 years ago.
Thank you so much, Shane. Great to hear from you. Jill.
Thank you.
No worries. Thank you.
And I've got written down.
I love that God's made us in so many different shapes and sizes. Jill, first of all, your name, and when and
Jill.
When and where did you go to college with Bible College of SA?
My name is Jill Phillips, and I studied at Victor Harbour, Mount Brecon, in 1975 to 77. There were 50 of us starting that year at Victor, and Brian Hardman was the principal.
Victor Harbour. It's a beautiful building. You can still see it up on the hill. What were some highlights for you? Obviously a different time, but what were some highlights and blessings for you at your time at college?
Well, what an incredible privilege. I couldn't get over how privileged I was, and a blessing to study God's Word full time for 3 years under godly, capable teachers, and making good lifelong friendships with my fellow students. It just blew me away. And in such a beautiful spot as Victor Harbour. Yeah.
Definitely a beautiful spot. Not that we're complaining about where we are. It is a blessing.
Yes.
What have you been up to? Obviously, it's a little further away, so you've done lots of things. Tell us about what you've been doing since your completion of study.
Well, I was invited by Paul Barnett to join the staff team at Holy Trinity Anglican Church in the city as women's pastoral worker. That was in the end of 1977. And I retired in 2010. Again, an incredible privilege. It involved a number of different responsibilities. I loved in visiting the sick and aged, encouraging them in their walk with the Lord, reading the Bible and praying with them. I was also responsible for the once a month friendship service for the aged and infirmed. I had oversight of the Sunday creche, organised and taught at the fortnightly Women's Hour Bible study, organised an annual women's weekend, had devotions each Friday morning with ladies who folded the leaflet for the Sunday leaflets and those cleaning the brass. Was a leader in the Club 5-7 group of children in grades 5 to 7 and so on. It was a full and enjoyable 34 years. The Lord enabled this frail one. Of course, there were also sad times, many funerals, but rejoicing and comforted when we knew they were with their Lord. A frail vessel, a mighty gracious God. My favourite verses, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Praise God.
Praise God indeed. Thank you, Jill. Fabulous.
Thank you.
We've got a fan club here.
Thank you very much.
That's exciting. Well, Kaz.
Yes.
Would you tell us your name? It could be Kaz.
Okay. Kazuo Sekine is my name, but in short, they call me Kaz.
Kaz, that's fantastic. That's fine. Kaz, when and where did you go to college here with Bible College of South
1972
Australia?
1972 to 74, was it? I was the first Japanese student. And those days, there was a Adelaide Bible Institute, so I did not need to sit for the English test. See? That caused me a great trouble. And my first roommate was quite Australian type of person. They said, how are you going, Kaz? You know. I thought, how am I going? On foot, you see.
I love it.
Yeah. That was a start. And so it's all sorts of problems with us. My very little knowledge of English. One time I said to the youth meeting, you know, I'm a very shiny boy since I was a little kid, they say. They start giggling. And it's not funny. I'm a very shiny boy. And afterwards, my friend came to me and said, Kaz, what's that light? You know, that's shining. That's shiny. And you meant to be saying, you're shy. So I said, oh, yeah, I'm a shy boy. And I said to the audience, say, excuse me, I said I was a shiny boy, but not I'm a shy boy. And they said, no, you're shiny.
I think your shininess is very evident,
like
Kaz.
That, yes. Thank you.
We love it. What are some highlights you have from your time at the Adelaide Bible Institute?
Quite many things. But physically, one of my highlight is a mission trip to Darwin. We bought a bus and drove up to Darwin. It took about 5 days or something. The problem was that I did not know the geography of Australia. So drove overnight, stop over at the service station. There's a huge map, and I was looking up somewhere there to a friend. Hey, we drove that much. Where are we? You know, where is the place? And this guy said, here. You know? I was just shocked. So how long are we going to take? He said, 4 or 5 days. I couldn't figure out, because I thought it was only about, you know, overnight trip. So I only had, you know, 2 pairs of shirts and 2 pairs of pants or something like that. But it was a long trip. Now, this is a physical highlight. Another highlight is that we're living together, you know, for 3 years, meeting with people every day, same face. I thought, the wonder of unthreatening fellowship to a Japanese boy who's very little speaking English, that just made me so warm. Not only the student, but also faculty members. My score of the test was always something, you know, what is this, you know. But Mr. Bingham often said, well, you don't need to worry about the test, you know, you just study slowly, you'll get it. We just love you because you came here to study the word. This kind of unthreatening fellowship, a warmth of love, just made me really renewed my mind of living together in love and in fellowship. And just this morning I thought, the Lord is my shepherd, is my word, but I thought I was really trained and nurtured by sheep. Living together with friends, I thought, yes, Lord is my shepherd, but because of the sheep, I had lots of encouragement. Because they're foolish, you see. Like, same classmates doing stupid things and like myself. Oh, yeah, we are sheep. And I thought, that was wonderful. So these are the highlights to find out that the unthreatening fellowship existed in such a way that even though we're sheep, we don't hate each other, we don't argue with each other, we just bless each other. And I think that's a wonderful experience for 3 years.
What a wonderful testimony, Kaz. Since your time of graduating, you also culturally, you are clearly in the minority as Japanese Christian, which is wonderful that you came and you studied. What have you been doing since your graduation?
At the moment, I'm a pastor. Still, I'm a pastor of one of the churches in Tokyo for many years. But apart from that, I'm writing hymn songs in Japanese for about the last 25 years. I made about 250 hymn songs in Japanese for the Japanese churches. And I'm a counselor. And also we developed the system for some artwork for the dementia patients. I'm doing that for about 30 years. So these are the areas that I'm covering. But I'm simply delighted to be able to come here to make a report that you made me like that. You know, you make me who I am by just accepting me as I am. And that really blessed my heart. So it's always, you know, BCSA is always in my mind, and classmates and roommates. They're just lovely friends for so many years. It's hard to believe that after 50 years, we just, you know, meeting up with each other. And all of a sudden, you know, even yesterday, we were just watching the old photos. We can talk things over 1 hour or 2 hours, whatever. And that was a blessing. So thank you very much for accepting me and giving me the time to share like this. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Kaz. What fabulous stories. So exciting to hear the way God is using broken vessels locally, in our state, in our country, and beyond. And that is the wonderful ministry of God's Word and His people through the Bible College of South Australia in all its iterations. Thank you for sharing. We're going to hand back to Jack and the music team as they continue to lead us through worship in song. Thanks, everyone.
Good Good morning, everyone. It's mine and Beth's privilege to read the Bible to you this morning. And I'm going to be reading from, as your program says, from Psalm 19, verses 7 to 14. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
The second reading today is taken from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God.
Thanks, Beth. Thank you, Peter. And how wonderful it is to be together today to celebrate 100 years of Bible College SA and to give great thanks to God for the great gift that this college has been to us, to countless people in the generations before us, and even more people beyond us, people who have benefited from the fruits of the college's work. Thank you for coming today to give thanks with us. We're so grateful for your presence and for your hearts being with this ministry. There's absolutely no question at all, is there, that Bible College SA is and has been a great gift from God. It is a special and unmerited provision of his gracious disposition toward us. And as much as that grace is completely incongruous with our own deserving, it is, of course, very much in line with God's amazing character. After all, the gospel message tells us that God gave his only begotten Son for the salvation of the world that he made and loves, despite the fact that none of us have any basis on which we could expect God to grant us such a blessing. God's grace to us in the gift of Jesus is at the core of what the college stands for. And more of that grace is seen in the fact that the college stands at all, and especially in the fact that it stood for the promotion of the name of Jesus for over 100 years now. The ideas of gifts and blessings and thanksgiving are really prominent throughout the New Testament, but it's worth just giving them a little bit moment to be unpacked, especially this idea of a gift. Because the way that the Bible talks about gifts is in some ways the same way that we tend to talk about gifts, but in other ways quite different. We say that the college is a gift to us and for us, but what do we mean by that? Usually when we think of receiving a gift, we think about getting something for ourselves. If I get a gift, I get something that increases what I possess, something that enriches my life experience, something that makes me feel good. And the Bible does agree with this. Again, this is at the core of the gospel. Jesus died and rose for us, giving us the free gifts of forgiveness and eternity with him, and those gifts certainly enrich our lives and our experience and our living. And they should make us feel more than good. But the Bible also has another dimension to the idea of receiving God's gifts that is radically different. Often, the gifts that we receive from God are not actually for us. They're not actually for us. They're as much for other people. So if God gives me, say, the gift of hospitality, that's not just for me to enjoy good times with my friends. That's for me to use to bless other people who need my care. If God gives me the special gift of prayer, that's not just for me to pray about myself, but so that I can intercede for others. If God gives me money, that's not just for my own personal benefit and indulgence. No, that's so that I can use that money for the service and good of others. Perhaps this dynamic reminds you a bit of those Christmas presents that you might have given or received at some time, the one from a gift agency catalogue. Do you know these ones? You get a card saying that for you, a goat or a mosquito net or a toilet or a well for clean water has been given to people in need in some other place. And that is your gift. It's something that you don't actually directly benefit from, but your gift is something to benefit others. In the opening of Paul's letter to the Philippians that we've just heard read, I think we see something of this dynamic extending even to the gospel itself. Verses 3 to 5, Paul thanks God for the Philippians and joyfully prays for them because of their sharing in the gospel, their fellowship in the gospel, participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, I think that's partly about the Philippians having the gifts of the gospel brought to them, the gifts of salvation and hope, but it's partly about the fact that they also now share with Paul in the work of the gospel, that is, in speaking the gospel to others. Verse 6, Paul is confident that the good work that God began among the Philippians, God will also bring to completion before the return of Jesus. And again, I don't think that is only the good work of their conversion. The work that God has done in them and for them is part of it. But it's also the work that they are doing in speaking the gospel to others. That is the work that God is doing through them. This is confirmed in verse 7, where Paul says it's right for him to think this way because the Philippians love him, which is evidence of the impact of the gospel on their hearts, but also because they share in God's grace with Paul, both in his imprisonment and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. That is, God has been gracious to the Philippians by giving them the gift of caring for Paul while he's in prison and of giving them the gift of defending and confirming the gospel like Paul does. The gift that God has given them is partly for them. They have freedom and hope in Christ, but also very much for others. They care for Christians in need. They speak the gospel to people who don't know Jesus. Verses 8 and 9, the work of the gospel both in and through the Philippians is why Paul longs for them with the compassion of Christ Jesus, and why he prays that their love may overflow more with knowledge and full insight. Notice that word, overflow. I think it's a great word to capture what's going on here. It immediately brings to mind the picture of water that's been poured into a container, and then because there's so much of it, it spills over the side and out to others. And here Paul is talking about, if you will, the water of life that has been so generously poured into the Philippians, filling them right up to the brim, that it's even spilled over and out from them to reach other people who are then blessed by their gift. Paul's prayer in verses 10 and 11 closes off with the hope that their overflowing knowledge and full insight will ultimately make them pure and blameless before God, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. And again, not wanting to overpress the point, but I wonder if the harvest of righteousness that Paul refers to here is not just their own personal righteousness, but the righteousness that others will come to have as they respond to the Philippians sharing the gospel with them. This is the dynamic, I think, of the wonderful gift of the gospel. The gospel is given to us for us, but given to us for others who will receive it through us. And in a way, I think the same thing is going on when we think about the good gift of Bible College SA. We're here to give thanks for 100 years of the college, which we've already noted, of course, used to be known as the Adelaide Bible Institute, or ABI, for its first 50 years. And I know as we give thanks today, it's very easy for us to think of the countless ways that we have personally benefited from the gift of the college, from this gift of God's grace. So many of our lives have been deeply enriched through the college. We have built great friendships here. More than that, we've been connected to relational networks that radiate through the college and then out across the city and even around the world. For those who have studied here, those who have taught here, we have learned so much about the Bible and so much from the Bible. We've gone wide and deep into the scriptures and become more proficient at reading, understanding, and applying the Word of God, and that has been a treasure to us. But more than that, we've also benefited immeasurably, as we have already heard this morning, as our study of the Bible has impacted us, humbled us, broken us down, explained more of ourselves to us, and turned us to Jesus with greater need and greater affection. There's so many of us who cannot just recite those famous lines we heard read from Psalm 19, but can also affirm them as truths that are not only objectively fundamental, but also experientially definitive. The Word of God is to be desired more than gold, even much fine gold. It is sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. So we can say how wonderful that through ABI and Bible College SA, we have received so much of that gift of God, so much of God's word in our lives. What a gift for us. And yet, as great as that blessing is, as great as that gift is, the real impact of the college, in fact, the real purpose of the college, is for those beyond us, those who have never crossed the college's threshold, indeed, some who might never even know that the college exists. As our students finish their studies, graduate, and then head out to represent and serve Jesus in the world beyond, all that they've learned and been grown in at college becomes a blessing to the circles of people whom they serve after college and away from college. One of them, perhaps, leads a weekly Bible study group whose members are getting real depth in their studies thanks to our graduates' time studying the New and Old Testaments. The college, then, has become a blessing to those others who are outside and beyond the college. Another graduate joins the staff team of a local church and so teaches and pastors the members of a congregation in a range of different ministry settings on any given Sunday, as well as at different times during the week in the homes of members, or maybe over a coffee at a local cafe, or even at a hospital bedside. The teaching and training provided at the college again becomes a blessing to others outside and beyond the college. And then there are the graduates who pack up their lives and their homes, sometimes their families, and relocate to different and distant parts of the world where there's little Christian witness and where they can share the love of Christ with peoples from completely different cultures who might otherwise have never heard anything of the amazing good news of the gospel. In the earliest years, of course, we were essentially a missionary training college. And over the decades, countless graduates have gone out to serve in over 40 different countries, all the way from Afghanistan to Zaire. Lives around the world have been impacted for eternity. Once more, the college has proven to be a gift not only to those who enrolled to study, but to people outside, beyond, and far away. We're so thankful that this is the kind of gift that the college has been and is. A gift for us, yes, absolutely. But through us, also for many others across our city, across our state, and across the wider international community. Our graduates are serving now as missionaries, pastors, actively engaged members of their local churches, contributors to countless other ministries, and in that they bless other people whom they serve. And I think that we can say with hopefully a reasonable amount of confidence that the blessings they're offering others are both quantitatively and qualitatively greater than they might have been had they never studied at Bible College SA. So God's gift to us is that we are spiritually useful far beyond ourselves. We can also helpfully just reframe that to say that the college does not exist for itself or even for the people directly connected to it, and it never has. Under God, the college exists for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the gospel enterprise in our city, in our state, and in our world. But today, as we celebrate and give thanks for all that God has done in us and through us, we also need to cast our minds forward and ask, what does God want us to do over the next 100 years? How can we be a gift and a blessing in our next century too? Well, as it happens, the board of the college has been asking these very questions. First of all, focusing on just the decade ahead. The board has been asking what the college ought to be doing between now and 2034, when we'll celebrate our 110th birthday. Hope to see you there. Well, two answers have been discerned to that question. The first is that we should keep doing exactly what we have been doing for the last 100 years. Training up women and men in Bible, theology, and ministry at the highest levels so that they might be well equipped to serve the next generations with the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We want our children, our children's children, and the next generations of our friends and neighbours and communities in South Australia and beyond to live in places where the Word of God is easy to find and where it's taught well and brought to bear on every part of life for the good of all and for the greater glory of our King. We want to keep doing what we have always done. But secondly, the board has also decided that we need to do something very different in the next season of the college's life. We need to grow bigger so that we can train and form many more students than we currently have the capacity to train and form now. Now, please understand, we of course do not want to do this just to boost our own egos, for the sake of the pride of the institution or anything like that. No, not at all. We want to do it because the reality is, for all that the college is a great gift and a great blessing to the people who receive the ministry of our graduates, at the moment, we're really just a drop in the ocean. We need to produce more graduates so that we can send more out to serve Jesus by faithfully and effectively ministering in more places across our state and further beyond. When the college was founded in 1924, more than 98% of the local population who were involved in the census identified as Christian. Since the 1960s, as you know, that percentage has been plummeting, so that at the last census it was below 50% who identify as Christian. And again, as you well know, most of that 50% is made up of nominal Christians, people who tick the box but who do not actively live out any kind of faith in Jesus. In fact, on any given Sunday, it's only around 3%, perhaps, of South Australians who'll be found in any church. And many of those folks are older folks, having faithfully persevered in the Lord for decades, which is a huge gift and another grace of God. But that does mean that in many churches, especially in the traditional denominations, it seems, many of the current faithful members might not be there in 10 years or more, having gone to glory. And as far as we can see with our human eyes, it doesn't look like lots of them are being replaced. There are other churches that have a younger age profile, but in some cases, sad to say, there are some pastors and teachers who don't actually really understand the Bible all that much, having not had a rigorous classical theological education. And that means they're unable to pass on the depth of the scriptures to up-and-coming generations. Now, add to these observations the fact that our state is growing and actually beginning to take off. I'm sure you noticed that in the last quarter, South Australia's economy was the best performing in the nation for the first time ever. And that might mean we ought to expect even more population growth in the years ahead. If we put it all together, what we can loosely forecast is that in 10 years' time, our state will be richer, more populous, but will have significantly less Christian witness per capita. And what there is might be thinner, shallower than what we have today. And all of this is to say nothing of the overwhelming needs that exist overseas. This is why we believe now is the time that we must seek to grow the college, so that we can have more of an impact on the generations to come. And I believe that in a rapidly changing culture, the next generations of gospel servants are going to need the good news of Jesus in all its fullness and all its depth, even more than we do now, as they confront peoples who know far less than those who've gone before. Both breadth and depth are going to be desperately required in the years ahead. Now, it can sound daunting to plot such an ambitious course, even as we acknowledge the sovereign and loving oversight of God. Yet, over the college's history, there have been other big moments like this. For example, when we bought the grand Mount Brecken down at Victor Harbour, we did not have the means to do so. And then we saw a booming ministry there for many years. Or when we relocated here again to the city, we've seen 40 years of fruitful ministry ever since that big step was taken. Even going back to when the college was founded, it was just a few business people who got together and cast and grasped a vision that brought the college into life from nothing at all. So as we consider and give thanks for all of that history today, and as we keep doing that across this whole year, we are convinced that we're at another such moment where we must step into a new future bravely and boldly, precisely because beyond our doors and outside our circles, there are so many people who desperately need the Word of God in their lives, and that's only increasing. It's going to mean a lot of things. It's going to mean employing more staff. It's going to mean working hard to impassion many, many more potential future students. It's going to mean moving to a new building. The place we're in now has been an enormous blessing to the college, and it's served us well for decades. But even as you have a bit of a look around today, you'll see that it is a bit tired and it's not really fit for purpose anymore. It's really come to the end of its great run. And as we now look to take the next step and advance our history beyond this first 100 years, we very much need you all, as well as many, many others, to join with us in fervent prayer, in passionate advocacy, and in sacrificial financial partnership too. It's big, it's daunting, but it's not too big for God. Look at what he's already done with this ministry for the last 100 years. I think it's actually also quite exciting. It's another gift and another blessing to not only be part of what God has been doing in the past, but to be part of what God might be doing and what we trust he will do in the years to come. I think we really need to grasp this centenary as a legacy moment for those of us who love this college, a moment for us to come together so that under God we can leave behind something even better than we inherited. Something that is fit for purpose for the next 20 years or the next 50 years. Something that will help the faithful generations who will follow us, to whom we do have some obligation today. I also think the reality is if we don't do this now, it will be nigh impossible for anyone to do it in the future, when so many of our churches have gotten smaller and the Christian witness has faded even further. I wonder if this is a once-in-a-lifetime moment for our relationship with this college. But enough of the looking forward just for now. Today really is a day to celebrate in the moment, to celebrate 100 years of amazing moments that God has given to us, to this wonderful institution. We give thanks to God for his immeasurable grace in letting us participate in and contribute to the great gospel cause. And as we do that, we continually turn our minds back to Jesus, our risen Lord, because of whom and for whom the college exists. And not just the college, but everyone who have in faith been privileged to share in its rich history. I want to thank you again so much for being here today to celebrate and to rejoice in God's grace with us. And may he bless us all and bless this place even more in the future to the ever greater glory of his Son, our King, Jesus. Thank you.
Matt and I both have the responsibility to lead in prayer, and I think his task is easier than mine. but mine is to give thanks for the past, to go back over the years of what God has done. And as I invite you to join me in prayer, you'll need to concentrate, not to go off target. There are names and situations that I will mention that some of you will know, some of you will not know. But in prayer, we're speaking to our Heavenly Father. What a wonderful privilege. Let's join together in prayer. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. O triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are holy and righteous. You are the sovereign Lord. And we come before you now knowing that you are here in our midst, knowing, Father, that the prayers that are uttered and those that are in our hearts will be heard by you. We praise you and we thank you. And as we bring names before you, we do so with grateful thanks for the way that you have worked in the lives of men and women. You never take a break. You are a God who never goes on holidays. You never say, I'll catch up with you later. You are a God continually at work in your triune person. And so we thank you for Angus College, right at the very beginning, and for Lockhart Morton and his ministry. For the Burrow family, particularly Alan Burrow, our first principal, and the fact that the college began in his home. We thank you, Father, for Walter Michelle, our first president, that he and Alan together began what became the residential college. For the Barrett and Butler families who, as businessmen, gave so much time and money. And for what we know as ABI and the years that men and women were taught the word of God. We thank you too for the ladies' auxiliary, those women who worked largely behind the scenes but did so much to help students and to make curtains and food and to help those who were struggling. For the missionary emphasis, which has always been here from the very beginning, the need to tell the gospel story to those in other lands who've never heard, who live in darkness, who are caught up in the traps of sin. And so we thank you for that emphasis which continues today. For the Monday night class, which for so many years was a means of teaching those who couldn't come to college and live in, but who wanted to know the scriptures. For Don and Jean Warren and their years, for Don as a student and then as a lecturer. For Jeffrey Bingham and the amazing ministry that he had at Mount Brecon. For Vic Goldney, for Ray Laird, who came when the college was on its knees and ready almost to close the doors. And he came to a very small number of men and women who wanted to learn the scriptures. For Bruce and Joy Bryson, who for so many years gave support financially and on the college board. for Graham and Aileen Wolfen, Brian and Gwen Hardman, and his work as principal. We thank you. For David Cowan and Jan Whitford, who worked not behind the scenes but were not in the academic scene of the college, but how we thank you for both of them. For those who were our librarians, who sought to build the library up to the stage of what it is today. For Sylvia Collinson, who stepped in as principal when the need was so desperate. For Mary Blaisley, for Bill Dixon, who's here today, and for the ministry that the college has had in country churches. And then the Dorr family, for the young man who you called home when he was praying on his knees in college. Father, we could go on and on, but you know the names and you know our hearts today. It's a time of giving thanks, and we don't do it lightly. We don't want to be flippant in any way, because it's all because your Holy Spirit has worked in the hearts and lives and situations that we faced as a college, whether it's been on the board or in lectures or in issues that rose up with students. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our triune God. We continue to bless you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and confess our continued need to you. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.
As we look forward now, let us continue to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look to our present day and the coming years, we long to see the gospel spread rapidly in our time across Adelaide, South Australia, and beyond. We thank you that your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ has promised to build his church here on earth until he returns in glory at the close of this age and at the dawn of the next in the new heavens and earth. We thank you that in your great kindness, from this day to that great day, you have chosen to send forth the gospel of Jesus and the message of salvation it brings. Through local churches like the ones we here today represent, and all churches faithful to your gospel across your world. As we pray for our city and state, we express our trust in you, that you have prepared good works for us to do in your name, and acknowledge the rich blessing it is to be able to serve you and participate in your plan of salvation going forth into your world. We long for existing churches in our city and state to be strengthened and many more to be planted for your glory. May our Chief Shepherd Jesus help us to send out many faithful servants from these churches to serve the cause of the gospel worldwide for the glory of your name and for the salvation of many. We humbly come before you today acknowledging that you need no man, woman or child, nor particular church, nor this Bible college to achieve your perfect will. Yet we seek to be faithful to the enduring truth of Jesus' words that the harvest is indeed plentiful and the workers are few. So we ask you to send out workers into the harvest. We seek the blessing of seeing you use the ministry of the Bible College of South Australia to play a unique part in this task for your glory. We express our very great need for you to provide all things necessary to do this with great care according to your will, that we might play an important role under your hand to shape every part of our graduates' character and godliness, fanning into the flame the gifts you have given them, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus boldly and to minister to others faithfully in ways pleasing to you. Please continue to shape our graduates past, present and future to be more like Jesus. May the evangelists, shepherds and teachers in your church serve to equip all the saints for the work of ministry. Heavenly Father, we feel the weight of the many challenges that face Bible College SA as we seek to serve you and your church. Please help us to shape the next generation faithfully as disciples of Jesus. May we encourage and support them as they count the cost of following Jesus as opposition to the gospel takes new forms. Please help us all to prayerfully use the time, gifts and financial resources we have received from your hand for this critical task. Please give the board humility, wisdom and gospel-hearted aspiration. Please continue to shape our wonderful faculty, staff and our principal Tim. Give them new energy each day for the good works you have called them to, and we thank you this day for each one of them. Where the way forward is unclear, may you in your kindness open the right doors wide enough so that we may discern your will. May the whole college community step forward with faith and courage built on your strength and not our own, seeking your glory, not our own, with our hearts captivated by your grace to us. May the love of Christ compel us all. May your word ever guide and transform us until the day when faith gives way to sight. We seek these many blessings from your hand for your glory, our joy, and for the sake of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Taste of heaven, wasn't it? Please be seated. What a great morning it's been. I hope you, like me, have come to a deep sense of thankfulness this morning for the sustaining work of our great sovereign God through the Bible College of South Australia. This work cannot happen without the support of our members and the wider community. And a big part of that support is, of course, financial. And BCSA is only able to operate today and for the last 100 years because of the generous donations of its supporters. There's no government funding. And to be quite honest, without these donations, there is no question that there simply wouldn't be a Bible College of South Australia today, equipping gospel workers for the future. And we're excited about the future, are you? So as we make plans under God, I invite you to consider how you might contribute to be part of the future of BCSA. It'd be remiss of me not to invite you to do so. Perhaps this centenary year could be the year that you renew or even increase your sacrificial giving to the work of the college. And if you aren't already giving, perhaps this is the year to start. To catch and support the vision of another 100 years of the ministry of BCSA. How can you be part of gifting and blessing our city, our state, and our country and beyond in this legacy moment? I love that, legacy moment. On your seats or around, you should find one of these pamphlets and pens. They're there to enable you to let us know how you wish to support the college, prayerfully and financially, if that's something that you're able to do. Simply fill it out and hand them to Carolyn. She'll be in the foyer, or any one of the staff who are wearing their name tags. Or if it's easier for you to do so online, then you'll find in that pamphlet a URL to go to as well. You hopefully picked up a beautiful pin on the way in as well. Take that as a memento. As well as pens, there are hoodies, there's all sorts of ways to commemorate this year, but I want to show you, because this is just beautiful, and this has just been released and launched today. I can see people just angling to see it. This is the centenary book. And to mark this beautiful and auspicious occasion, BCSA are launching this beautiful book, and inside tells lots and lots of inspiring stories. I have the privilege of reading some of them already this week, as I have one of these already. And it's not only, look, I'm very sensory and tactile, and it's not only beautiful to look at, it feels great too. So get your hands on one. Get your hands on one. They are being launched today. And because it is launch day, they are on special. And they are $35 each. You won't get them at this price again, only today. You can get them again later during the year, but not at this price. Get a copy. Get a few copies. Gift them to other people. Tells great stories. And who doesn't love a great story? Our story, the college's story, part of God's big story. We are going to head out to have lunch and fellowship and celebrate together. And before we do so, I'm going to close in prayer and say grace as well. Good and gracious God, with humility we give you great thanks for 100 years of ministry under you. Thank you for the countless lives transformed through their study at the college as well as through the ministry of those who've studied here. May you continue to lead and guide the work of the Bible College of South Australia by your Holy Spirit, for the great glory of Jesus. And as we fellowship over lunch, we give you thanks for the food and the hands that have prepared it. Bless our conversations as we celebrate over this meal. We give you thanks and glory in the powerful and majestic name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you out on the lawns.